Joe's face finally matches his dark and evil soul, and he's not as hot, which is a good thing for us because now we can tell he's a psychopath. We're going to be talking about all of that and more here on the You After Show, so stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Welcome to the You After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you so much for tuning in. It was a crazy, crazy week on You. We're going to be talking all about Joe's hallucinations of his ex, Candace, and an almost threesome, maybe foursome, with Joe on the floor. And then, of course, the death of one of our leads. Oh. Thanks so much, guys. I'm your host, Sam Davidson, with a full panel tonight, all of the girls.
Yes.
I know. Hey, guys. I'm Renee Ariel.
Hi, everybody. I'm Maggie Clark.
And I am Tequila Jackson.
And you are in the live chat, Tequila.
Definitely
am. We are looking out for you guys. We appreciate any things you want to share, any stories. So keep on doing that.
I actually found a really good one for later on the internet that made me laugh while I was sitting here. So.
Oh, my God. Perfect. Okay, good. Well, stay tuned for our special segment at the end where we will be going into a dark dive of stalker stories.
Mm-hmm.
Good times. Overall thoughts of tonight's episode?
It was so crazy. I feel like I was holding my breath the entire time because I was very anxious and overwhelmed and didn't want Joe to get caught, which was weird because he should get caught, and it was just a lot.
I agree. I had the same reaction. I honestly think this was the best episode yet of this season. It definitely kept me on the edge of my seat, holding my breath, like you said. It was so full of suspense and drama, and oh, it was exciting. I loved it.
I felt rage. First of all, like, it was too soon for Peach to really die. Like, I was so mad at that point. I feel you all both too and agree that the suspense of it, and you find yourself oddly rooting for Joe, and then you're like, why is he really creeping inside our house? Like, he's bold and audacious, and for some reason I was attracted to that until he killed Peach, and so I'm annoyed.
I guess it was just the pretty face for me, because the second I saw it smashed up like that, I was just like, oh, he scares me.
Oh, yeah. You know, that was good, too. It made you look at him in a different eye, and it made him more creepier and more scary at that point.
Yeah, his inside, like, matched his outside.
Definitely so.
He heals. You know, I get why it was your guys' favorite episode so far. You really liked it, and I liked it, but it wasn't my favorite episode because for a moment I became super aware that I was watching Lifetime, and I just was like, this is a Lifetime movie. I mean, this is the end of a Lifetime movie, but we're at episode 6. We have 4 left, and John Stamos hasn't even come in yet.
That's
and
right.
He next, you know, we'll get into that, but I this whole time I've been thinking, how is he a lead if, you know, it's taken this long? But we have one main character gone. Before we get to that, well, actually, we're getting to it first. Just kidding. Peach is being a big biatch this episode. Let's just be real about it. Joe comes over with a balloon. You know, she's been attacked. And deep down, you guys think that she knows that it's him? Or do you think that she kind of thinks she's half crazy, half paranoid? Because she is terrible to him.
I don't think that she knows it's him yet in this moment. I just think she has been a big B to him this entire show. Mm-hmm. And, like, any excuse to have it be justified, I think she'll take it. So for her, she's like, no male energy. So that's how she got away with it in the beginning of this episode. But I don't think she caught on to it until the moment that we saw her catch on to it at the end. Because you know damn well she would have done something conniving way earlier on.
Especially while Beck was there with her to convince Beck to stay away from him and not, she to have the proof there to really show her and not just her jealousy at that moment. Mm-hmm. So I definitely agree. She didn't know beforehand.
Yeah, she didn't know. Especially when we saw her in that ending scene when all of a sudden the light bulb turned on and she did realize that it was him the whole time and that he was actually in love with Beck. So, no. Yeah, I don't think he knew.
I mean, the entire scenario, it really is just bizarre because neither Peach nor Joe are very good people. She didn't deserve to die or anything like that. I just don't really think that she, like, given her behavior throughout the episode, and can you guys hear me? I feel like I can't hear myself.
Yes.
Okay. Oh my God, I sound inside. No, I'm good. It's totally fine. I thought you guys were looking at me like, we can't hear a thing she's saying.
No, we're just in tune to what you're saying.
But no, I think that she wasn't a great person. She was manipulating her, trying to take her away. And it's she's an interesting character to root for and not root for. And it's sad she's dead, but...
She's someone that I loved to hate on this show. Mm-hmm. I found her very entertaining to watch. Whereas Joe, I just am so creeped out by him.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I'm just so over Joe, especially, you know, when we were just talking about him having the blood all over his face and just looking terrible. It's like in those later scenes, the fact that he's in so much pain and he's so injured, but he's just allowing his adrenaline to move him forward and he won't give up. He's sleep deprived. He hasn't eaten anything, but he's so desperate to make sure that he's keeping tabs on Beck that he'll do anything. Ugh, I know it's so gross. I
think this was a great episode. First of all, perfect naming, Amorphou, crazy, obsessive, passionate love, whichever word you'd like to have for it. And there's so many different angles you can go with that from all of the characters. But I think Joe's gruesomeness to me still drew me to him. Like, for now, I see that he's wearing all of his evilness out on his sleeve. Like, you know the saying, you wear your heart on your sleeve. Now I see all the hurt and pain and murders that he's done. Now it's on the face of him, so I can see
it more. You think it's sexy? Did you say sexy?
No, it's gruesome, but it's attractive because now I see that in him. When he didn't have all of that gruesomeness, the whatever, the cuts and bruises and getting beat up, he was the pretty boy. So it was like, no. That still made it appealing, but now that I see just the marks on him and how brutally bad he was beaten up by the boyfriend, it appeals to me more. So now I can actually see him as a murderer, as the raging, jealous.
As a villain.
He thinks he's right in his mind and he's actually trying to protect and help Beck when actually he's not. He's just as worse as Peach was.
Yeah. Well, Joe gets even more beat up this episode, which we definitely see later. But he's driving, whose car is this? This is the bookstore.
Mr. Mooney's.
So it's Mr. Mooney's car. He drives it to stalk Beck, and it's just, he's getting sloppy. Don't you think at this point? You're like, boy, you're getting sloppy.
I was like a little disappointed. I'm like, that's the best thing you could come up with the cop, really?
Well,
it worked.
No, it didn't.
For the most part.
For, like, to an extent,
yes,
it worked.
True.
I mean, so what happens is Joe is hallucinating his ex-girlfriend, Candace. And, is it Candace?
Yeah, Candace. Yeah. Candace.
Mm-hmm. That name does just not want to stick with me. We see her, she's obviously dead, I'm just not going to look at Maggie for a moment, but,
I think he killed her.
Duh.
Well, yeah, I'm in agreement with that, too, but I'm finally glad that she made an appearance, even if it wasn't his hallucinations. I just wanted to get more of their story off the bat. The playfulness and what she's there to remind him of, I just wanted to see, what more was involved in their relationship, how it relates to what his actions are now with Beck. And they mentioned she had a brother. Where is he at?
Good point. Mm. Did she remind you guys at all of Beck's?
Oh, no. Definitely. She did
really?
To me. Yeah.
I think she did.
What ways? Not
so much in her personality, but kind of in her look.
Oh, okay. Looks? Yeah, okay, I'm like, appearance. Personality?
Not in personality.
This girl laughed so much. I'm like, calm down.
And oh, my gosh. Calm down, Candace.
And what about her pet name for him?
Oh, Bunny. Oh, my God. Fun fact. That's what my parents used to call my sister when she was a kid.
Aww.
Relatable.
But that's not cute anymore. But, yeah, he's hallucinating her everywhere, and he gets into this car accident, and then he has this confrontation with a cop. And, yeah, he just, has Benji's watch, which, was foreshadowing for something bad to go down.
I cannot believe Peach recognized that.
I can't.
I can, but I was shocked.
Yeah, an $80,000 watch. Mm-hmm. I feel like she has such an eye for style, mm-hmm. and that might be a showpiece that maybe Benji would brag about.
Yeah, yeah, but to know it was his.
Right.
Like, that wasn't even, she didn't even piece together, Benji had a watch like that. She was like, that's Benji's watch. Like, she just knew.
That's true. Well, maybe it was a custom piece.
Maybe.
And what would this guy be doing with a watch like that who worked, at a bookstore?
She doesn't think too highly of him to begin with. So, for him to have a watch in that magnitude.
She does not. And, of course, then Joe gets there after telling the cop he's going to take him on a boat ride. They didn't even exchange information.
Yeah.
I got angry about that part. I was like, Joe, you need to say, I forgot all my cards at home. Let me just write down my number, or look, any of that and just give, I don't know. But it was irresponsible of writers. Just saying. But he continues on thinking he's gotten away with it. We will get back to the part where he has not gotten away with it. But before we do, guys, we have so much more to talk about. We also have some awesome things at AfterBuzz we would love to remind you of this week.
That's right, you guys. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces aftershows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more, there's no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. And by subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. And let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you live on air. So for now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, guys, please check out all of our other shows and channels, because there's a lot of good ones like you, which we hope you guys are truly enjoying. So Joe breaks in and is trying to give himself stitches. Yuck.
Oh, my gosh. That was hard to watch.
I actually had to cover my eyes because I didn't want to see any of that. Yes.
I did, too.
Yeah. And then he wakes up with the pin sticking out of his head.
Yeah, that was... I think it's really interesting how gruesome they decided this episode to make him, because he really, this entire time, it's like, wow, how is he such a psycho? He's so cute and normal looking and just sweet looking, but this is the episode, literally, like, everything came out of him. It was disgusting. Well, not everything. I just hope that... I don't like that. Mm. Not for me, but... I loved it because it kind of was interwoven with the Candace storyline, and he's, you know, going up and coming down. Peach tried to stage a threesome, right? That was her plan.
Yeah.
To get this Raj man to come over to be like, it's okay if we hook up because it's a threesome and he's here. Like, we still don't exactly know what that fantasy was, if it was verified or not, that we saw the dream. You know what I'm talking about, a couple weeks ago with Peach and Bex hooking up.
Oh, right. I thought that was a fantasy that was just kind of, fabricated. That didn't really happen in real life, of the two of them making out. And it was kind of the way the light was in that scene. It seemed different. But then we saw it happening, of course, in real life in this episode. But my thoughts are on this Raj situation is that I think that Peach brought him in for two reasons. Number one, because she wants to break up Joe and Beck because she hates Joe and she wants him totally out of the picture. And then the other reason is because she wants to, you know, get Beck to loosen up, have some fun, and, you know, maybe start making out with her.
Oh, with totally. Peach.
Yeah.
For sure. I mean, even Joe was like, figured that one out like that.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But that's what annoys me about Beck, is that how she can't see it. And I try to put myself in her shoes. Like, if my friends are initially setting me up, friends that I've known for so long, like, I would know it. Like, my friends, we've been friends for 10 plus years now. So I would know something is kind of odd. So we're supposed to be here to help her recover. She's scared and she feels better in her, where are they at, Connecticut home?
Greenwich.
And so then we're going to the mall. You're eating carbs you don't usually eat. You're buying me dresses. You're setting me up, giving me drinks. And then, Raj. Mm-hmm. And he says, platonic friends meaning, what is it? Wait a minute. Platonic friends meaning friends just being friendly. No, that was all a setup for her to be able to make her dream come true, or that fantasy come to fruition of being able to get a little bit more of Beck, whatever she could do. And so I just didn't like how that all was played out.
Totally.
I think that Beck, especially in college, imagine her in college, probably got messed up all the time. She was that girl that just blacked out and would do, you know, so I feel like her and Peach did have that experience, and she might have woken up the next morning, Beck, and said, oh, like, that was weird. Don't you think that was weird? And I think she maybe saw in Peach that she was happy about it. And because I feel like her confronting her after the incident in this episode, Beck has kind of, like, thought this for a while, not just because of Joe. Because even when he first mentioned it to her, she was like, oh, just shut up. Like, Kind of like she knew.
It's Peach. Like, that's, like, you know, some of the excuses you have for family mm-hmm. and friends. Oh, that's just Tequila. That's just her. Sure. But no, sometimes you have, in order to be a good friend and to sustain that friendship, you have to call people out on their right or wrong. And I feel like Beck tried to do that, and she tried to do that lovingly and caringly to Peach, but Peach still was just too defended or offended and still rashed out at her. But I don't think it would have been a problem for Beck if Peach would have been like, well, yes, I do have a crush on you, or I am in love with you, or whatever that verbiage would have been. However, she didn't even get the chance to do that because she's more concerned about what her parents and their image and like Beck said. So I think she just ruined it all. And I'm glad Beck left. She hesitated for a second outside the Uber, but I was glad she definitely got in the car and left.
Just a quick side note. Don't you think it's weird that Peach didn't know who attacked her, was paranoid, and left the door unlocked?
Yeah, she's moron.
All the doors, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Like, rule number one of any scary movie.
And true. They always happen in Connecticut. Oh. Scary place, guys.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that the house at the end on the left? Last house on the left?
There's, like, Connecticut? 10 Connecticut haunting movies. So
that's she didn't true. Watch them. Peach oh, missed them.
Is this going to turn into a ghost movie? And it's, like, spin-off next season. It's, like, Peach in Greenwich, just, like, at the house. And it'll become the next American Horror Story. And with Shay Candace. Mitchell will have a job again. It'll be great. Why did they kill her? I loved looking at her. She's so beautiful.
That's a major issue, by the way, with many fans. So I just was looking on Twitter and on Instagram, and all of the comments regarding last night's episode were all these fans saying, you know what, you've lost me as a viewer. I'm no longer going to watch the show. I'm a huge Shay Mitchell fan, and I'm done with the show. I'm so upset. And honestly, I mean, I think they killed her off a little too early.
Way too early.
In the season. Because when you look at the audience that she brings in, it's massive. She has 21 million Instagram followers and millions of Twitter followers. So all of these people who are huge fans of hers are now upset and they're mad. And they may not continue watching the show.
But at the end of the day, then they weren't watching for the right reasons.
That's because true. But they were still
not
watching.
Not The Bachelor, Renee.
It was for the wrong reasons. But here's my thing. I get people are big fans of Shay Mitchell, as am I. But, like, I also wouldn't want to affect the storyline just because they're trying so hard to keep, like, a well-known actress on the show longer. Because that won't do the show justice, I think. True. There's a reason why they killed her off in episode 6. We have 4 more episodes, and who knows what's going to happen. This episode was such a shocker. Who knows what's going to happen after this. I think it's going to get super crazy. I think there's a reason they killed her off now. Mm-hmm. Because she was no longer doing anything for the storyline.
I think I was disappointed that she didn't make it to the second season, at least. However, when Catherine was here last week, she did say that we just don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be so many twists and turns. Ooh. So that, when I seen the episode today, I was like, okay, so I mean, I must listen to Catherine. She's in the show. Yeah. But it did, like, make me understand or feel a little bit better about why she's killed. I feel like she's going to come back in a Candace form, hallucinations.
Yes.
For sure. 100%.
Form or something like that. Yes. Nature. So we'll definitely see her more. But I still just thought it was way too early for her to die.
Well, let's talk about this epic scene, because it was an absolute showdown. Yes. So he takes the gun and he's literally passing out on and off, hallucinating his ex-girlfriend that he most likely murdered with this gun. And then, of course, you know, Peach says Joseph and just hits him over the head. He's on the ground and there's this fight with a gun. I never expected this episode.
Me neither. This took me by surprise in every way.
Mm-hmm.
And but yeah. Were you like freaking out when he was hallucinating that last time and, like, yelling and saying things, and you're like, I bet he's saying it out loud.
I was with you. I was totally with you on that one. But I think I just knew one of his pass out moments, he was going to get caught. And I was glad the way it happened, the camera angles, just the directing of it. She calls out his name, and I thought it was just Candace will awaken him from that hallucination, but it was actually Peach, and she slaps the hell out of him. So I was like, oh, yes. But then I was like, oh, no, because now you're caught for real. So what's, you know, going to happen at that point? But I just thought he kept saying to himself while he was in our house, oh, no, my head. Oh, my headache. Like, you could feel him about to pass out in the moments when he was narrating. So I just thought it was just irresponsible. I would have preferred if he had stayed in the bushes outside the house and looked through the windows or could do anything of that nature. Being inside the house was totally creepy.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was there through every step of the way. Every single scene, he's under the bed when Peach is hooking up with this guy all night.
Like one time.
Oh my gosh.
Don't you think the shower was enough for him to be more careful?
Right.
I know.
It's, do you think that perhaps the reason we had this fight last week with Paco's mother's boyfriend and him is because he has some kind of brain damage or something? Like, what was the point of that?
What?
Of Paco's mom's boyfriend beating the crap out of him.
Oh, he said that it was karma.
But you mean
for like, hitting Peach over the head during her run?
Yeah, but I just
like
I'm
for
all,
the
like
show?
Yeah, for the show. Like, does he have? I mean, he obviously has some kind of mental damage because he has probably not contributed a concussion at the very least.
Well, then also the car accident when he hit the deer.
Yeah,
he probably hit his head again.
Well, he did say he had a concussion,
right?
Well, yeah. Like during this episode, I don't know why. I mean, maybe they were just trying to, as we were talking about earlier, make him like very ugly. Like, maybe that's what they were doing, like, showing his true colors on the outside, because we do see, as we're all saying, like, the cute Joe. That's the only thing I could think of. But then again, we're now tying in Paco's mom into this, so that could actually be the reason now that he, I mean, it's all connected.
Yeah.
Now that he didn't press charges, Paco's mom did a favor by stitching up his gun wound. Who knows how that will play out later. So I think there is a reason. Just for us in this episode, it was like, really? Twice? But also, karma's real.
Yeah, guys. Someone will follow you and they will hurt you many times if you're a stalker and other things.
Don't stalk.
Yeah, it was our first time seeing Paco's mom. Mm-hmm. We heard her voice prior to this, but yeah.
It's frustrating. Her character, I already do not like her.
Same.
I just, yeah, wow. But let's talk about Peach's staged suicide that Joe did. I mean, do we really think that this guy going in and out of consciousness made sure he made a clean break?
Like, no, he peed in a jar.
Not. Yeah.
He They're peed find in that. A jar. There's a reason why they showed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't know when. I feel like that'll be like the last episode.
Yeah.
They'll be like going through a someone will be going through a house, and then they'll be like, what's this?
Yeah, there were cops and detectives, investigators combing through that house. They're absolutely going to find it. Not to mention, if they have a biopsy of her body, they're going to see that there were signs of struggle and that it wasn't a clean suicide.
I mean, I'm assuming he just shot her.
Yeah. But there's probably going to be, like, DNA under her fingernails, and it's going to look like...
Well, if he just shot her, though, right?
Because
that she would be having to, he would be fighting her for that. And if it really was a gun, my whole thing, though, is, like, because he was in and out of consciousness, how did he... Where did he put her? Like, how was this set up? How did he wipe the... He was so out of it.
Yeah, they didn't show all that.
That's where... I mean, they probably did that because they don't want us to get in our heads. Like, he left something behind.
Right.
But yeah, I totally think that could be a thing.
Yeah, especially just because he was there and then he wasn't there. I'm hoping maybe there's a flashback or something of him scrambling. Probably not. It's probably wishful thinking.
But it's very possible he could get stuck in his head about it. Though, after the whole Benji killing, he didn't think about it again.
Yeah, he's killed. He has killed two that we have known so far. And the cop, you know, looks up the weird dude that he pulled over earlier. And that all kind of gets packed back together. And I'm sure we will see him again. But yeah, we mentioned Paco's mom. And I think that it's definitely going to come back around. There's a reason that she's there. And she dumped the boyfriend, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Well, for now.
For now, he might come back.
It's an abusive relationship. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm afraid of, I think, several more people are going to die.
Well, he's almost a serial killer. One more to go.
He very well could be, though, because we don't know how many he had before this. I think at least one, and then maybe a couple more before that.
It was just the only thing, because when we originally talked about Candace, like, back in, episode 2, I suspected he killed her, but what confused me is when he killed Benji, he said, I'm not a killer, like, I don't do this, and it made it sound like that was his first time. So that's what kind of wigged me out, like, the way he was, like, in his head about that and talking about that. It felt like that was his first time killing someone, But I don't know.
Yeah, he's just a psycho. He probably suppressed those memories. Yeah. And in order for us to. So that, I feel like, if it is true, then we'll see more of the story once the show continues to play out. If it's not true, then I feel like the argument that he and Candace were having in his hallucination where she's asking for her phone back, I feel like that warranted some rage out of him. If he didn't kill her, it was something he did to her, being jealous about her producer that she was talking to.
Yeah, one of those things that's like, get out of my way. And then he just, like, knocks something and she just, like, dies. And then he covers it up. And you know what? I have a lot of predictions, and we're going to get into those in just a little bit. But, of course, we have Joe and Beck. Beck's reunite. She's lost her best friend. He's given her her space. She's a wreck. The poor girl probably thinks she caused a suicide.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's awful.
And, I mean, I think this is, too, where, like, Elizabeth Lyle, she is going to get, because me and Renee did this show, Dead of Summer, and she was such a good actress.
Yeah.
Her character just made this such an interesting turn, so I knew we would see a darker side of her, and I think it's going to come out after this death.
Interesting.
Can back up a little bit and say that I was actually amazed at the suicide note that he wrote on behalf of Peach. It sounded very Peaches, like in her voice, in her thought process.
He's a writer.
And then that's very true, and a book reader,
well,
too.
Well, he's hacked her laptop, yes, so
that
he's got
as well.
A few notes.
I think Beck, I'm just waiting. I thought this was the episode for me, like the action, the climax, and that was going to happen. But it took her out of it. It happened between Peach and Joe for me. So I'm waiting for her moment to come in. And I wanted to see how the other girls will come in and support her, or how they'll still be friends or won't be friends. Like, what that dynamic will now be, since Peach, who was like the head friend, the boss, the ruler, the leader, is now gone.
Boss Peach.
Yes.
Ghost boss Peach. Sorry, Peach. R.I.P. But yeah, that wraps it up, really, for this episode. We have some more stuff to tell you guys about. But of course, we're also on iTunes, and we really would like some ratings and reviews. I checked them today, and we still, like, you know, needs. I know we're new, but, like, give us 5 stars or 4 stars, whatever you want to do. Leave us a nice comment. We'd love to see it. And we will mention you live on the air, as per our library. Okay, so next, of course, we have our special segment, and then we'll get to news and gossip right afterwards. But our deep dive confessions.
Yes.
Stalker confessions. Renee has one she found.
Okay, so I looked up a few funny ones that I enjoyed, and I just want to read you this one right here. So this was posted on a blog, but this girl, Melissa, said, "There was this guy I liked. He friended me, and everything was good. Then one night, I got drunk and stalked his Facebook back to 2009. Drunk me didn't realize that pressing the L key on the keyboard liked photos. I think I liked photos from years 2009 to 2011.
Oh, how embarrassing.
That is one of my favorite stories. Okay, let's see. This is from Tyler. So I'll do one more. Tyler said, "I accidentally friended my ex's new boyfriend on Facebook." "And then proceeded to delete my account out of sheer panic. I was off the grid for 2 weeks after that before getting the nerve to react." I can't handle
You're
these.
You're dying. I think this is all too real from Renee. Renee's like, oh, God.
Okay.
It's been happening.
Should I do one more?
One more.
These are so funny. These are just funny cyber-stalking stories. Okay. I haven't read this one. This is from Sally. She said, "I was being broken up with, but I didn't want to happen. It was dragging on. We would still text occasionally, like once a week or so. I wanted to check in on him, but the idea of creeping on his Facebook and seeing photos with him seemed a little too raw. For some odd reason, I thought I thought looking at his LinkedIn would be removed enough my healing process."
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. I can't handle this. "I turned to his profile for my daily soft."
For your daily what?
So in case you guys don't know, it alerts you every time someone looks at your LinkedIn profile.
Oh, I get that, yeah.
"Fast forward 22 days later, I got a notification that he viewed my page. Exhilarated, I thought he was thinking of me, until I realized that LinkedIn notifies people when you view their profiles. He got a notification that I viewed his profile 22 days in a row." There's really no coming back from that.
Oh, wow.
These are so funny.
Well, do we have one from the chat, too?
No, not anyone from the chat.
I have one.
What,
did you? Oh, I thought you said you had one earlier, Tequila. No?
But it's a whole 5-minute story, so I'll save it for next week.
I have a quick one.
All right, tell us.
So this just popped into my head because it happened today.
Oh.
So you guys, I was just traveling in Europe, and I was in Paris with my husband, and we sat down at a table, and we had dinner next to a couple from Maryland. And we just started chatting, just niceties, pleasantries, and we ended up going to the Moulin Rouge show, the four of us together. But as soon as we went into the Moulin Rouge, we got separated because we ended up going to different seats, and we were just like, oh, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. But we took a quick selfie in the lobby. So today I get a Facebook message from this woman who I sat next to at dinner, and she didn't know anything about me except for my first name, that I lived in LA, and that we were sorority sisters. And she found me on Facebook.
Wow.
I was like, wow,
she did deep dive into Facebook to figure you out.
Yeah, I like it. Definitely.
She didn't even know my last name.
That's I mean, I found the one guy on the train without knowing his first or last name. I just knew Javi had 8 years ago.
Wow. Jeez. Actually, I need your help. I met a really... Actually, I'll talk to you
about it. I'll help you. I got you, girl.
His first name was Ab, but he was, like, probably too cool to have a Facebook.
Ab?
Odd.
Odd. Not like his first name was Ab?
Mm-hmm. No.
Never met an Ab.
I'll give you guys an update after I fully stalked him in a couple weeks.
Cool.
Just kidding. Kind of. All right, on that note, let's get into some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Oh, okay. So,
well. One of the pieces of gossip that I already covered was that all of these Shay Mitchell fans are threatening not to watch the show. Mm-hmm. And then I do have another piece of news and gossip from an Entertainment Weekly article that just came out, but it has to do with the book. So I'm going to save that for my closing segment.
I have something. So, well, it's not that exciting, but it is news and gossip. In case you guys didn't know or did not watch the previews for next week, John Stamos is going to be in the show, like, for the rest of it, I'm assuming. It's very late to bring him in episode 6, but I'm assuming since Shay Mitchell died, they can give that money to John Stamos because they need another big name in the show. But they really don't, actually. They don't need him. But I'm excited to see what his character is and if he's even in the books at all or, like, what.
Did you watch the preview?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got, like, a big beard. He looks really handsome.
Yeah, and like I said, I went to Paley Fest before this came out where the show was, you know, screened and the cast was there, and John Stamos was there.
Wow.
Like, as a...
That's so weird when it's before he's even on the show.
The show hadn't even started. We watched the pilot, and he's like, I thought, oh, maybe tops he'd be in episode 3, but it's going to be episode 7 that he starts in. So, interestingly
enough.
Can't
wait to see Uncle Jesse.
I think Uncle Jesse's going to creep us the hell out. That's my opinion. On that note, let's get into some predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Does anyone want to start? Or no, Maggie can't. I always look at her first.
I know.
But you can't. You want to? Okay.
I'll go.
Renee. No.
I think that next week, because Beck feels all this guilt and she's going to go back in her mind and be like, Joe's the one that put this in my head. That's why I did this. She's going to lash out in a way where she's going to be like, F you and do her own thing and be very confused and be kind of a jerk next week. And Joe's going to be like, I thought I got rid of the problem. I killed your best friend. That's my thoughts.
Yeah. Those are good. I'll go. So I am very worried for Beck's safety, that she will make it out alive. With how early they killed Shay Mitchell, for all we know, she could go episode 8. Beck's, I mean. I don't know. I think that we will get more flashbacks and or hallucinations of Candace. And I actually do think that in some way Joe is walking around with something severely wrong with his brain, since he's heard it a lot twice. Like, he got beat up and then he got in that car accident. So I think that will be his demise. But, you know, we know there's a season 2, and I'm pretty sure he's in it. If anyone is going to be in, he's the only one. So he's going to be all right. But, yeah, very nervous for all of those girls' safeties. I wouldn't want to be friends with those girls anymore. I'd be like, oh, you know what? Peach died. I think, you know what? You and Joe can just go live a nice little life in the cottage. We'll come to your funeral. Yep. But, yeah, sorry.
You come to Beck's funeral.
Yeah.
So I think this the group is going to step up to where Annika's going to kind of replace Peach's role to where she's now going to be the more outspoken, the more leader, the vocal one. But I think it's going to benefit Beck in the way that Joe wants it to. And I think they'll be on good terms until the end of the season, quite honestly. I think it's not till next season that the rest of these stories, especially pertaining to what happens to Peach, will come out. I think we'll start filling out more of the relationship between Candace and the backstory between Candace and Joe.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, we three of us ladies are going to wrap up. We are going to tell you where, of course, to find us and AfterBuzz before we have our special segment of Maggie here talk, our second special segment of Maggie talking about the book. So book viewers, stay watching, and for those that do not want spoilers, leave with us. Okay, on that note, so nice to see you guys again. I love you all. We're gonna have some amazing special guests for the rest of the season. We cannot announce them yet, but we will very soon, so stay tuned. You can find me at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram.
You guys can follow me at Renee Ariel on Instagram and on Twitter, and make sure you check out my blog, Sexting and the City. I just put out a new post, and it is how getting over a breakup is like getting in shape. So go check it out.
Ooh, I want to check that out. Well, again, Maggie Clark is my name, guys, and you can find me at Maggie Clark on camera on Instagram and at Maggie on camera on Twitter. And please stick around if you are a fan of the book, and we're going to talk about comparisons between the book and this episode.
And I am Tequila Jackson. You can find me at Tequila_IM, and you can also come hang out with me on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. for the Good Doctor After Show.
See you guys next week. Stay for Maggie.
Bye.
Bye, ladies. Okay, hi everybody. Again, I'm Maggie Clark, and welcome back to AfterBuzz TV, where we're talking about You on Lifetime, Season 1, Episode 6. And this is my very special segment called Book versus Show, where I'm going to break down the differences between Carolyn Kepnes's You book and our beloved episode 6 of this incredible, exciting show. So as the book readers, we first of all know that this big scene that took place in Greenwich, Connecticut actually happened in a place called Little Compton. And I want to start off first with talking about the whole car hitting the deer situation with Joe. So first of all, when he hit the deer, he right away jumped out of the car and kind of stumbled down the street, and it was winter time and he was really cold and needed to find some shelter, and the car was totaled. So he ended up in the neighbor, Peach's neighbor's boathouse or shed, and that's where he must have tripped an alarm and Officer Nico found him. And then Officer Nico took him to the hospital, which was so nice of him, where Joe continued his sham, where he pulled the wool over everyone's eyes, convincing them that he was someone other than himself. So anyway, after he got out of the hospital, instead of heading back to New York, which is what he should have done, he went back to Peach's house. And there was no Raj in the book. It was simply Peach and Beck. And the two of them were relaxing. They went shopping. I think Peach was making kale smoothies. And then she started to make some moves on Beck. And Beck was into it for a minute and then quickly realized that this was not something that she wanted to participate in. So in the book, if all of you guys remember, there were no drugs, there was no party, there was no Raj. It was more of a late afternoon come on from Peach. So shortly after that, we all know that the whole scene of Joe murdering Peach was completely different. So he was on the beach, if you guys remember, and Peach went for a jog, and he grabbed Peach while she was running, shoved her face into the sand, and suffocated her, killed her. And at the very last second, she turned and saw him before she died and said, "You," which I thought was so nice for the book. But that she said that one last word. And then he fills her pockets with rocks and throws her into the water. So I feel like in the book, this was a cleaner way that he got rid of Peach. But at the same time, and please let me know what you guys think, I think that the way it played out on the show was better for the viewing of the show. I think that it was a little more suspenseful, more dramatic. It was a little more exciting. It was interesting to see their final confrontation and the giant fight that the two of them had, and the two of them realizing that one of them had to go because Beck was only going to be with one of them and they couldn't coexist in this world with Beck. So I felt like that served the show better than what happened in the book. And I was just going to mention the Entertainment Weekly article that came out today. So we had a quote from showrunner Sarah Gamble, and she said, "As somebody who loves books and loves watching adaptations of books on television, I feel a certain responsibility to the book fans to both capture what they love about Caroline's work and also surprise them and keep them on their toes. I think it's part of the job of a TV show to make sure that we take a few twists and turns that you're not expecting." And as a book reader, I think that this was really fun. This absolutely gave us lots of twists and turns and gave us a really fun episode. So I'm glad that they made this decision. But please let me know what your thoughts are too. I'm going to put a book versus show comment thread on our YouTube page. So if you'd like to discuss this further, go ahead and do that there. Also, feel free to DM me on Instagram or Twitter if you want to discuss the book versus the show a little more. So again, I'm Maggie Clark. Thank you so much for watching and listening, everyone here at AfterBuzz TV. We appreciate you so much. We will see you next week and buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.